With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello and welcome, dear listener, to this week's EvoStick Extra. My name is Ben Hughes, and coming up in this week's show, we'll be previewing this weekend's league matches in the Premier Division, and we'll be catching up with Darlington 1883, all about their move back to their hometown. All of that and a little bit more on this week's EvoStick Extra. So welcome everyone to this week's show. Very shortly we will be reviewing last weekend's fixtures in the league with James Hayes, and later on we'll be discussing Nantwich Town and this weekend's matches over Easter with Johnny Crowther from Redshift Radio. But before all of that, it's to the team who are banging form, and they've also had some brilliant news this week. They're moving back to their hometown. It's now time to join hands and welcome to the show Media and Communications Manager from Darlington 1883, it's Ray Simpson. Hello, Ray. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, pleasure. It's always nice to spread the word, so to speak.
We should say as well, we're recording this on Good Friday. We've had a bit we've been trying to find people to come on the show. So thank you, Ray, for giving up a moment of your bank holiday to come on the show. But really exciting news about the ground, moving back to Darlington. What does this mean for the club?
Oh, it means a huge amount for the club because, remember, this is a former Football League club that used to have crowds in the promotion seasons back in 1991, and also in seasons after that used to have average crowds around about 5,000. When we moved to Bishop Auckland, when we were kicked down by the FA 4 years ago, we were still getting crowds of 1,500 in the Northern League, which was more than some conference clubs were getting on some occasions. But because the club is playing 12 miles out of town, then the support slowly dwindled a little bit. Now the average gate's around about the 1150 mark, which is still great. I mean, there'll be people listening to this now thinking, blimey, I wish we could have 1150. But the fan base is there in Darlington. Now, what will happen is during the summer, all being well, big if, everything has got to slot into place, and hopefully will be in the new ground, subject to FA approval, by the end of August.
Right.
But there's a huge, huge amount of work. Well, a lot of it's going to be modular stands. These are the sort of prefabricated ones that easily slot into place. I mean, it's not exactly going to be nice for the aesthetics of it all for a romantic football follower. But we've got to be practical about this, and these are the sort of constructions nowadays which give the best kind of value, in inverted commas. So there's a huge amount of work to do. There's still one or two minor boxes to tick, but hopefully everything will all be sorted out, subject to FA approval, because we all know what these ground gradings like, all by the end of August.
It's a tight timetable, but the club's working with the rugby union club up there at Darlington as well.
That's right. Yeah. Well, what's happening is Blackwell Meadows is a rugby club on the outside of town. Darlington Rugby Club have been there for about 25, 30 years, and just like any other business, then they need income into the club, and with the local council, they're trying to establish a sporting hub at that particular part of town. It's ideal there. They want to bring another sport as well. There's an archery there, for example, but the scope to do a lot more. Now, what's happened is the rugby club have applied themselves for grants to erect changing rooms and make other changes. Darlington Football Club have gone to the Football Ground Improvement Trust, or whatever the name is these days, to get grants from them. There's also some money that Darlington Football Club have banked in the past from previous appeals and the Danburn transfer. And so hopefully that we've just launched another fundraising campaign yesterday called a Community Share Campaign, which is quite interesting. It's inviting fans to loan money to the club, and after a period of time, they can ask the club for that back, but only if the club can afford it.
And we've heard of this before with clubs like Wimbledon and FC United and Bath City recently. They've done one, and Newport County and I think Merthyr Town actually in the Southern League have done something similar. And this is about investing in a community asset.
That's right.
Because you could put the money in a bank to save away.
You could if you wanted to. I mean, there's talk of a dividend on this. And
this actually makes commercial sense if you're an investor, because you're actually giving something and you're also making equal interest on your investment.
Oh, that's right. It's there's a lot of Darlow fans who've probably bought £200 or £300 in and say, oh, I'll just leave it. I'm not bothered about getting it back. You know, it's that's where they are. They'll happily put money into the club to keep it going and to maintain the standard of the ground that's going to be built, and also try and improve the standard of the team as well. It's we're talking of, like I said, there's 1,000 hardcore fans, but we know that 500 have drifted away since the Northern League days. Plus, there's also we think another 1,000 or so who are probably waiting for Darlow to come back to the town. Now, I know for a fact that when Darlington left Feetham's in 2003, some fans said, vowed then that they would never go back to watch Darlington at that arena. Bit of a history behind it, I won't go into it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But so we know there are fans out there who are eagerly awaiting the return to the town, and they'll go along to Blackwell Meadows.
And when we talk about Darlington 1883, essentially it is a Phoenix club in a way. And since 2012, the club has formed. It's been such a journey, and now the team is second in the league, just behind Blyth Spartans in the Northern Premier League Premier Division. And we did say off air, we're not going to go into too much detail because you don't want to jinx it. So it has been a hell of a journey for Darlington with promotions and going to some places that the fan base may have never been to before.
Yeah, that's right. The fan base, of course, a lot of them were used to the Football League and also two seasons in the Conference. When Darlow were relegated to the Conference back in 1989, when Brian Little was manager, the fans thoroughly enjoyed that season in the Conference because they were going to new places. It was a new adventure kind of thing. Whether they would have, as many would have stayed around for a second season in the Conference, if Barnett had pipped us that year, I don't know. But to a lot of Darlow fans, it's been a big adventure to go to brand new places. And as well, I think what they appreciate is that it's more enjoyable at non-league level. In some ways, you treat it differently at Football League level, for example, segregation and stuff like that.
Whereas
at non-league level, you're free to wander around the ground. A lot of Darlow fans grew up when Feetham's allowed fans to migrate at half-time. There used to be a lot of fans who used to stand on the halfway line when the referee was conducting the pre-match toss of the coin with the two captains, who would wait and see which way Darlow were going to attack, and then there'd suddenly be a mass rush towards one end, and then they would migrate at half-time. A lot of Darlow fans grew up like that in the 70s and the 80s and the early 90s, and they love doing it now. It's, you know, these are people in the 40s and the 50s now, of course, but they enjoy doing things like that, and they'll have the opportunity to do that again at the new ground. They couldn't do it, obviously, when they're at the arena. It's that was all taken away from them.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I used to, obviously, being an FC United fan, I used to be a season ticket holder at Old Trafford, and I wouldn't go back to top flight football now, 10 years on. I'd quite happily go watch football in the Northwest Counties again because of the reasons you explain. And also, the football's quite good, actually, and more entertaining. And that leads me on to Darlington's form on the pitch as well. This team currently, with some of the acquisitions that have been made since the turn of the year as well, some people like Liam Hardy, for example, this team Darlington's got is a very, very good team.
It is, I agree. On a good winning run at the moment, but there's still a lot of games to play.
He's not getting off the fence, listener. I'm trying, but he's not doing it. Anyway, so...
No, you're not going to. No, simple as that. But no, there's a lot of games to play, a lot of points to play for. It's calling for it.
Don't worry, Ray. It's fine. I understand.
Don't worry. I'm a Portia-turned gamekeeper.
The listener knows too. The listener understands perfectly. And just a closing note. Obviously, Darlington have had some trials and tribulations over the past 20 or so years. Mm-hmm. It's this as a supporter-owned club now, the feeling must be very special that you've got a team on the pitch that you can be proud of, and you're going somewhere as a club, back to Darlington, and there's a future now.
Yeah, that's right. And as well, the club is a lot more transparent now than what it had pre-2012. Before, the club was at the whim of one man. It's been three different owners, but of one man, and we didn't know what was going on. Whereas now we're a lot more transparent, a lot more decisions are made by the fans. And surely that can only be good. They're all going to make mistakes, but they're also going to be some successes as well along the way. It's a matter of organisation and teamwork. Just as it is on the field, it is off the field as well.
Absolutely. Well, Ray Simpson, once again, a big thanks for giving up 20 minutes or so this week on Good Friday. Wish you all the best of luck for the remainder of the season, but more importantly, really, because it's about the long term, a really big good luck with the move. And on behalf of all the listeners, we hope that you get there for the start of next season. It sounds excellent and really exciting.
Yeah. Oh, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having us on.
Ray Simpson there, Media and Communications Manager at Darlington 1883. So it's now time to look back and reminisce, all gather together on a hill somewhere and look back at the league and the league table and go, oh, that's what happened on Saturday. And joining me now to do that very thing, we're now joined by the welcome return. It's James Hayes from the Under Fire Evo Stick NPL Facebook group. Hello, James. How are you?
Evening, Ben. How are you doing tonight?
What I'm fine. Oh, it was a snowstorm of queries, of complaints, of why is he there and why isn't he there and where is that guy? It was expected though, wasn't it? I mean, it was
kind of was. Yeah, I think obviously two big names. I think, but that weren't mentioned. Well, four or five essentially that people were expecting. But again, people saying, you know what, hang on, that was a good decision, as you said last week.
Yeah, well, when I saw the final list, I thought, well, there's going to be a couple of clubs who rightly are going to go, where's my player, where's my star player? But it is a league of 60 odd clubs at the end of the day, and my only complaint about it is there's never a goalkeeper on that list. Never a goalkeeper. The poor goalkeepers of this league, I mean, what do they have to do? Keep more clean sheets. That's the correct answer.
All they need to do is speak to Nick Culkin and see what they did.
That's true. So the polling is now open, and you can vote. And at this point, I think we should play the advert for who's been nominated. I think that'd be the right thing to do now. Do you reckon?
Not a problem. Let's go for it.
Okay, so over to me to introduce this season's Player of the Year award. Ben?
Well, hello, dear listener. And yes, it's that time of year again where we celebrate all that is good about the Evo Stick Northern Premier League. These are the nominations for this season's Evo Stick League Supporters Player of the Season. Robert Dale, Blythe Spartans.
Last year's winner returned to the final five this year. Last season, named the best player to have never turned professional by the papers, the striker and fans' favourite has helped the Spartans turn last season's playoff near miss into a full-on title push this time round.
Sefton Gonzalez, Clitheroe FC.
Gonzalez by name and by nature, the quick-wing striker has propelled Clitheroe into the playoff race in the First Division North this season. Rejoining the Blues after a stint at higher levels, the 24-year-old has the pace that can shred defences and has proven to be nearly impossible to defend against.
Carl Hawley, Stourbridge.
The 34-year-old England Sea Cap holder is currently the league's top scorer and is able to make attacking plays from anywhere on the pitch. And after two impressive cup runs as well as a playoff push, the Stourbridge striker makes it onto this season's nomination list.
Kieran Kilheeny, Warrington Town.
Warrington's lethal forward earns his spot as the forward who has helped the Yellows to the top of Division 1 North this season. The 32-year-old has spent a fair spell in the NPL with visits at most Manchester-based teams, but has found his home at The Wire, and with 28 goals to date, the proven scorer has been very tricky to defend against this season.
Anthony Melbourne, Kidsgrove Athletic.
Since joining in 2014, Malbon has been pivotal in helping the Staffordshire-based side move from relegation candidates to a force in Division 1 South. The Groves captain has racked up 20 goals this season and is competing in the Golden Boot race.
So, there you have it, dear listener. Those are the nominees for this season's Evo Stick League Supporters Player of the Season Award. Get voting now. To vote, you can visit the official league website. That's at evostickleague.co.uk. Or you can do it via the Facebook group. That's at facebook.com/groups/the NPL. Normal rules apply. Remember, you can only vote for one player. If you're found, and checks will be made throughout the process, to have voted more than once, then all your votes will be deleted. Yes. Voting closes at 11:59 on the 31st of March. That's 11:59 p.m. Yes, the stroke of midnight. Good luck to all this season's nominees, and a big congratulations from everyone here at the Evo Stick podcast for getting nominated. And we'll have more on this shortlist on next week's Evo Stick Extra. But from everyone here at the Evo Stick Northern Premier League podcast, good evening and have a good weekend. Happy voting. Welcome back to the Evo Stick Extra podcast this week. So they were the nominations for this season's award. And you can go online and vote now, but only vote once, as I said, otherwise you'll be, James Hayes will come and track you down. Anyway, so let's go to, shall we do the Dudeson first?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Right, so it's now time, firstly, for the Integro Dudeson League Cup Roundup semi-final. Boom! And on Tuesday night, Scarborough Athletic hosted Ilkeston, and, well, it finished 1-1 after 90 minutes in front of a crowd of 302 people there up at Bridlington. And Scarborough Athletic won 5-3 on penalties, going through to the final. Can you believe it, James?
It's nice to see that. Obviously, Scarborough were looking for some sort of reward for the season. Obviously, they've not performed the best in Division 1 North, not what they were expecting, and lost a potential, I think it's two managers they've had this year. I know Rudy Funk went, but I think a second one's gone now as well. So, naturally, it's a nice bit of fans to get some sort of reward for the season, especially for what they've been doing travelling-wise and support-wise as well. Some of the best fans I've spoken to this year.
And we also said as well, with regards to Scarborough, we've said this on the Division 1 show as well, which is out next week, by the way, in case you're wondering. We've also said in there that the main point behind Scarborough Athletic, surely, is at this moment, the main priority is the ground. And the approval's been given for the ground. So to stay in Division 1 North, get approval for the ground and make a cup final, that is a good season, I'm going to say.
It is indeed. Yeah, it is indeed.
So that's the Dudeson. Just a reminder that the other semi-final between Marine and Colwyn Bay, that's taking place towards the end of April. But I'm pretty sure we'll have the announcement for the venue for the Dudeson final at some point before then, I'm going to imagine. I don't think they're going to drop it on us that week in April. I think they're going to tell us some point before then. So we'll have more details on the Dudeson final in later shows. But it's now time to draw our eyes to the league. And, well, what a weekend and what a week it's been for Darlington. Now, we just spoke to Darlington. To the rest of the clubs in the Premier Division, you're welcome. We've tried to jinx them. It worked for Rushall last week. It's worked for countless other clubs. Apologies once again to Richard Sneakers. It's just one of them things, unfortunately. But Darlington, they've had a cracking week. They're still in second place, admittedly, but now the gap is just 1 point, and Darlington have two games in hand over Blyth Spartans. Blyth Spartans on Saturday beat Matlock Town by 1-0. Darlington, it was a tricky game. They beat Rushall Olympic, though, by 1-0. And midweek, they travelled to Nantwich and beat them 5-0. So, Darlington, they're a juggernaut at the minute, aren't they?
Yeah, they look completely unstoppable. And I think we said it last week, it's their league to lose now. They've still got them two games in hand to jump the table. Even looking at the goal differences, Darlington may as well have the extra point now for what it's worth. Cartman's finding his form right at the very end of the season, and that's frightening for a lot of teams. They've still got to play yet as well. Mm-hmm. So you've got to say the ball is now in Darlington's court completely. Blyth dropping points left, right and centre as well have majorly helped them out. And again, I don't see any other team trying to catch them both up at this moment in time. So, Nat, I think it's still a two-horse race, because you can Darlington could still lose them two games they've got in hand. I find it very, very hard to do with how they're performing at the moment. But
April's a funny month, though, for that kind of thing. Anything can happen in April. Salford City, they're currently in third. They played once this past week and they did the job, beating Sutton Coldfield Town at Moor Lane by 2-0. Never easy to beat Sutton Coldfield, as many teams have found out this season. So a good result that for Salford. Workington, though, they had a bit of a six-pointer, probably game of the weekend. One of the games of the weekend, certainly. Workington against Stourbridge, it finished 1-1. Probably a good result for both teams, I'm going to suggest, although Aston United are now in the mix as well. But let's focus on, firstly, Salford and that result there for Workington against Stourbridge.
Salford, realistically now, I've got to be looking at the home advantage for the playoffs. With only seven games left, I can't really see him closing that gap now to both teams. Naturally, them two, whoever loses that title race is going to be getting the home advantage to the semi-finals as well. So Salford would be looking to consolidate that third and bring someone to their ground on the Tuesday night on the playoffs. The result against Stourbridge works more towards Stourbridge and Workington, I think.
Do you reckon? Because that gap now, it stays at 5 points between Workington in fourth and Stourbridge in sixth. Admittedly, Stourbridge do have a game in hand, but that keeps Workington very much in play and it's better than a defeat, certainly.
Yeah, definitely a defeat, but it's a game that Workington would have wanted to win. Now, I mean, obviously, everyone wants to win every match, but with the pressures they've got available, Stourbridge have still got that game in hand as well. So it means Workington have got a little bit more to do going up forward. Had they won that game, you would have imagined they would have been a lot of the top four off.
Yep.
And fifth place going for that last playoff spot. But again, it's now letting, like, again, Ashton coming back into Ashton and Stourbridge have a real good crack at breaking into the top four and potentially even knocking out Workington and maybe even Salford, depending on their form in the next couple of weeks. You could add Barwell and Rushall into it, maybe. But out of them fourth, you could expect, well, you are going to have three of them in the playoffs, but them three have got it all to the side with themselves now.
Now, Ashton United, as we said, they're now fifth in the league. A good win on Saturday, beating Barwell by 1-0. Superb stuff there. That's I think you've kind of said it. Does that kick Barwell out of contention now because they played a few games more than everyone else around them? It's going to be difficult now. The gap is 5 points to the playoffs.
Yeah, 5 points and goal difference against them as well.
I should say, just because I've forgotten this, on Monday night as well, Ashton United travelled to Stourbridge and got a very good 2-1 win against Stourbridge, putting Ashton United firmly in this playoff picture. Now, we knew that anyway, but as you said, it's kind of made it those four teams, third, fourth, fifth and sixth. It's their playoff race now, isn't it?
It is indeed. Going into the Monday night, Ashton and Stourbridge would have seen it out like that anyway. So it's more advantage to, again, Ashton for winning that game. They've got that 3-point gap and the goal difference on their side and the relatively the easier running of the two teams. Coming to Barwell very, very quickly as well. Yes, I reckon you could rule them out, but they've still, all it takes is for one of Ashton or Stourbridge again to slip up, and you never know. But obviously,
two of them to slip up, really, doesn't it?
It does realistically. But if one of them slips, the other one might be looking over the shoulder. I mean, looking at the game, the fixtures both have got left. Everyone's got left to play. Barwell, I've got more the mid-table side,
right?
So they're going to be biting at the tails.
Let's go towards the bottom end of the table. Very shortly, we should say, we're going to be speaking to Johnny Crowther from Redshift Radio for a preview for this weekend's fixtures. And mustn't forget, next week, the NPL show for March will be coming your way, where we'll be discussing this playoff and title picture at great length, I'm sure. So let's move towards the bottom end of the table. Ramsbottom United, it's looking, by the week, it's looking increasingly unlikely now that they're going to survive, I think. Michelover Sports 3, Ramsbottom United 1, a good result that for Michelover Sports, a must win for Michelover Sports.
Yeah.
Midweek, They went down by 2-1 at home to Workington, which I'm going to suggest would be expected. So they've got the 3 points that were realistically achievable, and that result leaves Michelover Sports third from bottom at the moment, 3 points from safety. Just a quick mention for Colwyn Bay. Colwyn Bay went down by 1-0 to Grantham Town on Saturday. But then on Tuesday, bounced back and beat Buxton by 3-2. That result leaves Colwyn Bay 3 points behind Michelover Sports, but they do have a game in hand. James, your view on Michelover and Colwyn Bay at the moment?
Michelover, even with the win against Ramsbottom, they've not done enough to stay in the division. They might have a game in hand on Stamford and Whitby Town at the moment, but again, the goal difference is appalling against both of them. Their running's not necessarily the best either, so they've got the uphill battle to get across. Colwyn Bay, they're the team you've got to watch. He will be challenging Whitby, Stamford, Marine for that last push going forward. Obviously, they've got the Dootson game against Marine, so and they've got to play Marine yet as well in the league. I think that's this weekend, if I remember rightly.
Well, let's just cover off Marine then. On Saturday, Stamford against Marine, big, big game this one, 0-0, which I think isn't helpful to either side, if I'm being honest. But it leaves Stamford and Marine in the relegation picture, certainly. And then in midweek, very disappointing, I'm going to suggest, for Marine. 1-1 away at Ramsbottom United. And if you compare those results to Michelover and Colwyn Bay, who are getting 3 points this week, at some point this week, in their two matches, they've got to be a bit disappointed with that, Marine.
Yeah, I've got to. I suggest some of the Ramsbottom game. I'm going to close off Ramsbottom quickly. Yeah. We've got, at best, 4 games left before the magic car starts appearing, I'm afraid.
Okay.
Looking at Marine, yeah, you can say it is a massive disappointment for what they've done in the last week, results-wise, but they've still got the fact they've got to go to Michelover again yet anyway. That could basically save their season if they get a result there.
Let's talk about Whitby, because Marine are 3 points above Stamford now. Whitby Town, 2 points above Stamford. And Whitby Town, they've had a good week. They beat Buxton by 1-0. Very good result, that. Midweek, they went to Stormy Corner and drew 0-0 with Skelmersdale United, which is no mean feat. And that's 4 points out of a possible 6 for Whitby Town. And that's good for Whitby Town.
It's their own form at the moment as well. They are playing very, very well, except for whenever I've seen them this year anyway.
yes. That's your fault. Road, that's your fault, James, technically.
It anyway. Is, yeah. Yeah. You look at the form completely with Whitby at the moment, it's one of the worst going. They've only 1 win, 2 draws out of the last couple of games. But comparing the home and the away forms, it's not necessarily as bad as you think.
Yeah.
They are scoring at the moment. They seem to be enjoying the football. So it's not like a case of, obviously, form can say one thing, but even then, all credit to them, they are giving this a good go, especially when people were writing them off. Out the, let's say, bottom 7 at the moment, because I want to mention one more team before we head off.
Well, don't say Wait. Hyde. Don't say Hyde. I'm going to mention Hyde now. Do you want me to mention Hyde?
Yeah, go on.
All right. Hyde United, they're doing just enough. Just enough, I feel, to keep themselves away from this. It's currently 6 points the gap between 18th, where Hyde United is, and Stamford in the relegation zone. And Hyde have had 2 points this week. Hyde United won, Skelmersdale United won on Saturday, and then on Monday night, 2-2 at home to Rushall Olympic. That's decent results for Hyde United. And considering what could have happened, 2 defeats... I'm going to suggest that's good-ish.
It is, but at this end of the season and with what they've been doing the last couple of weeks, it's not enough. They've got games against them with Marine and Whitby Town at the moment. Whitby can go within a point of them. Marine could, again, get the safety off that, I reckon.
Right.
And looking at, again, the runnings, Hyde have got to play most of the top end of the table rather than the bottom. This weekend will decide their season when they go to Michelover. I know it's not the preview bit, but whoever loses that one, I reckon that's them as well.
Just to try and relieve some pressure on some of the teams down the bottom end, I've been reviewing other leagues at Step 3. Well, James, don't shoot the messenger. Right, I've done it for research purposes. Okay? Now, actually, at the moment, 34 points is fourth from bottom currently. I'm going to suggest, with the way Stamford, Mickleover, Corwin Bay, Whitby Town, Marine are playing at the moment, where they're getting the odd win here or there, that number will increase before the end of the season. At the moment in the Southern League, Histon have got that fourth from bottom position. They've got 36 points, but they've played 40 games. And in the Ryman League, well, it's Farnborough, fourth and bottom, and they played, and they've got 35 points. So if, in the unlikely event, because I'm pretty sure clubs are being run properly now in the non-league world, if in the unlikely event we do have an AGM Cup situation, it's looking a bit brighter than it was perhaps a month ago.
Yeah, like the 21st, it's going to be between us and the Southern League at the moment, depending on what happens, unless Farnborough manage to get out of the bottom four and still get relegated anyway. But it's going to get close, and I don't think I'm going to surprise people when I say this. I don't think there is going to be an AGM Cup this year.
Well, we've said that now for about three or four weeks, and you know, I'm just throwing it out there as kind of like, oh, you never know kind of thing. I'm just throwing hope, James. There's nothing wrong with throwing hope at people.
I know there's no hope.
So
they say no hope, so that's Ratcliffe season. It's one of them seasons where for once we can actually see it's not going to come down to who scored more points than the other when it doesn't affect their results. It's going to be the bottom four teams will be going down, in my opinion, this year.
Now, obviously, there's a few teams we've missed. We've missed Nantwich Town off this list because, well, the game on Saturday was postponed against Frickley, and, well, they got beat 5-0 against Darlington. But we also speak to Johnny Crowther in a second or two. But we're reaching the stage of the season now where we're signing teams off. We're basically saying, we're not ignoring you, that's not the right phrase, but stuff's happening at either end of the table, and those teams in the middle, help me, James, you know what I'm saying, don't you?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think Grantham Town, again, fantastic recovery from what we've seen about 7 or 8 weeks ago.
Absolutely.
They were right down there in the fight. Great way to end the season. They're pretty much safe. Ilkeston, obviously, we mentioned, Producen, and Frickley Athletic, we can't say it enough, they've done well and truly overperformed. So, in my eyes, Sutton Coldfield Town, to be where they are at the time of the year, rather than down the bottom end where people were predicting even last place positions.
Well,
so
on that note, James, it's probably time to draw a line under this chat, because we're going to have this chat all over again next week for the MPL show. But before we go, James, how can people get in touch with you and have a bit of banter and even vote for this season's NPL Supporters Player of the Year? How could people get involved and do that kind of thing?
Yeah, when they're not doing that basketball game on Facebook, they can go to Facebook.
Oh, that's another thing. Wait. Seriously, you lot, your moderators, the admin team at the NPL Facebook group, dear listener at home, they're playing basketball games like it's June, right? Do your jobs, people, for goodness sake. This is slacking like nobody's business. Right, anyway.
I was just going to say, this came from last week, by the way. We're not playing that basketball game. facebook.com/groups/the MPL or on Twitter @the MPL group. On both pages, at the very top, is the link for voting for Supporters Player of the Year.
Vote once.
You can only vote once if you've already done it. Like I say, I've got that red button in front of me to delete all votes from yourselves. Mm-hmm. And you've only got till next Thursday at 11:59 p.m. to cast your vote.
That's right. Otherwise, there's going to be some kind of weird Cinderella issue taking place where you turn into a pumpkin or something if you've not voted. So, James Hayes from the NPL Facebook group, thank you very much for joining us this week on Evo Stick Extra. And we'll be seeing you next week from the Heat and Hop.
Yeah, we will do.
So, a busy weekend coming up in the league. It's bank holiday. It's Easter. It's where we all eat chocolate and we all spend two occasions at a football match. And joining me now to preview this weekend's fixtures in the league, we're now joined by the welcome return from Redshift Radio. It's Johnny Crowther. Hello, Johnny. How are you?
Yeah, very well, Ben. Very well, thanks. Yourself?
I'm all good. So it'd be remiss of me not to start with this subject. The FA Trophy semi-final, a very brave and very an excellent effort to try and get through. I mean, it came very, very close.
Yeah, it was tremendous. It was tremendous effort by Nantwich Town. You know, I went up for the away leg and we outplayed Halifax in the first half. We absolutely outplayed them. You know, we got ourselves 2-1 up and we were pushing for that third goal, which would have took us to extra time. We hit the post through Andy White. The lads just did the club so proud. And, you know, even Halifax supporters were saying after the game how well we performed, and they did. They played some great football, and it was they were so close. They lost 6-4 overall in the end, and Halifax scoring a late equaliser 2-2. But you know, they did the Evil Stick Northern Premier League proud. They did themselves proud. They did the management team proud. And they did the supporters who travelled proud. They were really superb on the day. It's a fantastic effort. And we've talked before about some of the scalps that they've taken in the FA Trophy this season, the likes of Stourbridge, Salford, Dover, you know, Bradford, PA, I should say. And, you know, brilliant. What a run. And, yeah, they were brilliant, brilliant to a man. The whole squad up there in Halifax was superb. And it was a joy to be part of, to be honest.
And even though it finished 2-2, it was a bit flattering, I think, for Halifax. That 89th minute goal making it look like it was a two goal gap, when really it was one goal away from taking it through to extra time. So a very good effort by Nantwich, and on behalf of the league, congratulations for making it to the semi finals and flying the flag for the league. Speaking of the league, it's now time to go to the league, and the league title race, the playoff picture and the relegation battle is really hotting up now. And I'm going to suggest Darlington are in pole position. And this weekend, on Saturday, they're hosting Hales Owen Town. We've had a couple of correspondents in. Andy Clark, Hales Owen at home on Saturday and Whitby away on Bank Holiday Monday. Need to get as many people as possible down to watch this unbelievable squad we have. There's togetherness, and the way that we play with each other is out of this world. There'll be a massive attendance on Monday away at Whitby. Let's just hope everyone enjoys the day and conducts themselves in the correct manner. Come on, Darlington. And Rob Lloyd, Hales Owen away at Darlington on Saturday, and then the number 9 derby at home to Stourbridge. Two tough games for the Yelts, without doubt. Darlow are flying, so anything from there would be a bonus. On Monday, we could seriously dent playoff points for neighbours, Stourbridge, if we beat them. They've beat us twice this season, so hopefully it's our turn to beat them. A tough game, no doubt, where I can see whoever scores first winning. Just to say, Johnny, those are the two longest pieces of correspondence on the fixture preview, so that I won't be hogging the mic for too long. But Darlington this weekend, it's pivotal, these two matches.
Yeah, I mean, Darlington are absolutely flying. Two games in hand, only 1 point behind Blyth. They scored 83 league goals now in the season. They've got Nathan Cartman and Lee Gaskell. Cartman scored 17, Gaskell's got 16. They can afford to leave Liam Hardy on the bench, and he scored 21. I saw him, obviously, midweek. They're absolutely flying. Brilliant team. The best team I've seen in the league this season at our place. I have to say that. I think they'll go on and win it. I was impressed all across the pitch. They've got a brilliant midfielder in Portis, Thomas Portis, in the middle of the park. Good keeper, good squad. Yeah, everything I saw about Darlington on Tuesday night, brilliant. And I really think they... them and Blyth are going to push it, because Blyth are a good team as well, very good side. But from what I saw from Darlington, I don't know whether for me, they've just got the edge. They're superb. And, you know, it's going to be tough for Hales Owen. They had a good 3-1 win away at Ilkeston recently, 13th in the table. But on the performance that I saw on Tuesday night, I think Darlington will win that game comfortably.
And as the correspondents alluded to there, the match on Whitby on Monday at Whitby is also a biggie. But you mentioned Blyth Spartans. Blyth Spartans this weekend, they've got a tough game. They're travelling to Stamford and then Workington away on Monday. If they get 6 points this weekend, they'll have done really well, I think. Stampy's been in touch to say Stamford at home at High Flying Blyth Spartans on Saturday, and then Barwell away on Monday, where we never win. Either going to be a convincing away win at, for Blyth, or Stamford will sneak a 1-0 win. Not holding out any hope, though. And John Haig, a must win for Blyth at Stamford, followed by a tough game against Workington on Monday. Looks like we're going to have to rely on a major implosion at Darlington. What do you reckon to Blyth? Can they keep going under this pressure?
Yeah, I mean, I think they can. Blyth are, again, another team that have really impressed me. I think the North East at the moment, with Darlington and Blyth, two top teams. I expect Blyth to go there to Stamford and win. You know, and they need to, because, like you say, with just the one team going up automatically, Who's it going to be? Then you know, Blythe and Darlington are going to fight now right to the end of the season. I think they're the two standout teams for me. But yeah, Blythe have to win, and I think what the your caller there, or you know, who's giving you the correspondence there, said it's a must-win game for Blythe Spartans, and I totally agree with that. But I do expect them to win on Saturday. I mean, Monday will be tough against Workington, because Workington are a class outfit. But I expect them to go and win at Stamford. Stamford's last result was 0-0, I think, against Marine. They're down there in 21st place. You know, they need every point they can get, so they'll fight. It'll obviously easy for Blythe, but I just think Blythe have got that bit of quality and I expect them to in a way, win there.
And in third place at the moment is Salford City. I think Salford City are snug in the playoffs now. It's just a case of how much home advantage they get in the playoffs, I feel. This weekend, they're hosting Whitby Town. And on Monday, I think they're travelling up to Ramsbottom on the Whichway bus. It's a bit of an interesting one for Salford now. I think they just need a few more wins and they'll have secured top five, I think.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think one thing I would say about them, Ben, is we talked about them on last month's Eagle Stick Northern Premier League podcast, when we're saying, and I think I was one of the people that said, they're a bit inconsistent. They need to get the consistency sorted out. And since then, I think they've done that. You know, a solid 2-0 win against Sutton Coldfield, a 1-0 away win at Hales Owen. You know, those are the type of results, you know, they're not conceding. Okay, they're not winning, you know, by 3 or 4, but they're good, solid wins then, and they're in third place. I expect them to be right in the mix. I expect them to win the game against Whitby. Whitby Town are, you know, they've done well, Whitby Town, recently. So don't write them off. They'll give them a game, but I'd expect Salford City to win that one.
Workington, we mentioned Workington earlier. Workington this weekend, they're hosting Rushall Olympic. And we should say, once again, apologies to Richard Sneakers for jinxing Rushall Olympic's recent form on last week's show. Apologies for that. Workington, what do you think for Workington? They've got Ashton United now breathing down the necks a bit.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's tough up there, we've just talked about some of the relegation places. Now we're talking about the push-offs for promotion. Workington, they've done great this season, haven't they? They're fourth at the moment. They had a great 2-1 win against Mikulova recently. It's going to be, I'll tell you what, though, a tough tie against Rushall Olympic. They drew 2-2 at Hyde. And in Alex Reid, they've got somebody who's really on form. He's having a great season.
The gap for Rushall to the playoffs where Ashton United are at the moment is 10 points, but it's not inconceivable in the month of August for a few surprises to occur. We should say Workington, as we said earlier, on Bank Holiday Monday, they're travelling to Blythe Spartans, so a really tough weekend, I feel, for Workington. Also this weekend, we mentioned Ashton United, they're hosting Ilkeston on Saturday, and it should be, Johnny, pretty plain sailing for Ashton United at Hurst Cross. They have said it.
Yeah. I mean, they can't afford to drop points. I mean, they basically can't afford to drop them because, you know, the competition around them. But that result beating Barwell 1-0. And Martin Pilkington, he's really on fire, isn't he, for Ashton at the moment. I'd expect them to win. Ilkeston are safe in 15th, and I think Ashton will win that game.
And we should say as well, Mark Carruthers last week, he tried to mention the two new signings Ashton United have got in Liam Brownhill and Craig Linfield from FC United, and I shot him down because I was a bit unhappy about them going. But they are quality players and quality signings to get in for the running, that's for sure. Ashton United on Monday, we should mention, they've got an away trip to fellow Tamesiders Hyde United. A pivotal weekend for Ashton United. Stourbridge, currently outside the playoffs at the moment, they're hosting Buxton on Saturday, and Matt Joyce has been in touch to say away to the Glass Boys on Saturday, we will get hammered with two suspensions coming up. Taylor's 5-match ban begins, and after late Tuesday's diabolical display at Colwyn Bay, I don't see us having the fight against fellow rivals Matlock Town on Monday as the mid-table battle of failures continues. Oh my goodness. Anyway, so we'll cover Buxton off in a second or two, but Stourbridge against Buxton. Despite Joyce's pessimism, Buxton are a tricky side to work out, and Stourbridge, they need to win this match, and there's easier teams to come and play you when you need a win.
Yeah, I agree. But we've had a very good season, Stourbridge. You remember the cup runs we've talked about throughout the season? Buxton 11th, they lost to Colwyn Bay 3-2. So I'd expect Stourbridge to win that game. Again, the Glassboys have to win that game to put the pressure back on the top four there, and top five, I should say. And I think they'll do it. So I expect a Stourbridge result there.
And we'll come to the match between Nantwich and Barwell at the end, just to give you free rein to plug away, Johnny. But obviously, Barwell and Nantwich are also in the playoff mix. Nantwich, because of the games in hand they've got, we can't discount them, really. We'll cover that in a second or two, but just to go towards the bottom end of the table now. Ramsbottom, they're travelling to Sutton Coldfield Town. A tricky match for Ramsbottom, and then they've got Salford on Monday. James Hayes earlier was mentioning the dreaded R in brackets appearing at some point for Ram. It's looking likely now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I think all of us on involved in the Northern Premier League, we've all got a soft spot for Ramsbottom, what they've been through this season with all the floods and stuff, but you just can't see it. Bottom of the table.
And Colwyn Bay are currently second from bottom, and still in with a shout of survival. On Saturday, Colwyn Bay are travelling to Frickley Athletic, and on Monday, a big six-pointer this one, they're hosting Marine, in which is not really a derby, but the closest I think Colwyn Bay has got to a derby. And Colwyn Bay, if they're to put a fight up, these next two fixtures are really important.
They're massive for Colwyn Bay. And I tell you what, I've got to say, because I've watched Colwyn Bay recently, the Beatles in the Dudeson Cup, and I was really impressed with him. And obviously got a fairly new manager in there. I had a chat with him after the game. Right, I'm going to stick my neck out here. I think Colwyn Bay will get at least a point against Frickley, get a point there, and I think they'll beat Marine. And I think, I'll say this now, but I think Colwyn Bay could get out of it. I really do. Right. Really impressed with them. They've made a number of new signings recently.
And we should say Marine on Saturday, they're hosting Grantham Town. Michael J. Holland's been in touch to say home to Grantham Saturday and away to Colwyn Bay for Marine. Two big games for us. Need to start winning instead of so many draws. And I think Marine's draw record's brilliant, it has to be said. Obviously not if you're a Marine fan, but it's. I think it's impressive to have drawn so many games this season. 13 games they've drawn. I find that quite fascinating. Anyway, moving on. Michelover Sports, they've got a really important game on Saturday. They're hosting Hyde United. And then on Monday, Michelover are travelling to Ilkeston. And you've got to imagine Michelover, they shouldn't feel too daunted by these two fixtures, but Saturdays against Hyde is very important.
Yeah, this is a tough one. I'm calling it Michelover Sports, 22nd in the table, and Hyde, the G1 on with Skerm and 2-2 with Rush also. We've got Scotty Spencer back now. It's going to be tough. I think Michelover will get a point for this one, and I think they'll beat Ilkeston on the bank holiday. I think they can do that.
Now, just before we move on to the big match over the weekend, which involves Nantwich and Barwell, just to cover off a couple of other fixtures with teams we've now officially signed off from the Evo Stick podcast. Matlock Town are hosting Skelmersdale United on Saturday. And I think that's it, actually. That's the only one. Oh, I feel bad now for not really giving them a really big thing. Do you want to speak about Matlock against Skem?
Matlock against Skem, what I would say about them is, just have a look at the tables, they're both safe, 0-0 draw, or 1-1, I'll go for 1-1 apiece.
And remember as well on Bank Holiday Monday that all the matches we've mentioned are a form of local derby. Buxton against Matlock is at Silverlands is going to be a really interesting occasion, I'm going to suggest. Not much to play for, but those matches are always excellent affairs. And I think we've mentioned pretty much everything else. Yes, we have. Apart from Skem against Nantwich Town at Stormy Corner on Bank Holiday Monday. But we should mention Saturday's match now. Johnny, this is your perfect chance to run wild. Nantwich Town are, well, they're currently ninth. They're a number of points away from the playoff positions at the moment, but they do have three games in hand, four games in hand, in some cases five games in hand if you class Barwell in the mix as well. Nantwich Town, if you're going to make the playoffs or push for the playoffs, you have to win every game now, starting with Barwell.
And, you know, I interviewed the assistant manager, Neil Fidel, after the... I can only call it a 5-0 drubbing at home to Darlington on Tuesday, which it was. Nantwich, you know, Darlington were superb on the night and well worthy of the victory. Nantwich have got to go on the run. There's no doubt about that. They're 55 points, but... Barwell, who've had a fantastic season, haven't they? We've spoke about them so often, 7th with 66 points. It's going to be really tough. Nantwich, at the moment, what I would say is with the cup runs that you've just mentioned, obviously we've not played as many games. We've scored 115 goals in all competitions. Fantastic cup runs, semis of the FA Trophy, quarters of the Dutton. We've got a few injuries at the moment, though, as well. But it's given, what that is giving is some of the youngsters an opportunity. Troy Bourne made his debut on Tuesday at the back against Darlington and did really, really well. But Barwell, we're talking about Barwell, good side, really good season. They lost the last game 1-0 to Ashton. And I think they'll be coming to the Wigan Stadium on Saturday all out to win the 3 points. And I think it's going to be a cracking game of football.
And where can people, if you're unable to make the game, how can people listen in from afar?
Yep, again, it'll be me commentating on Saturday. So you can go on to redshift.co.uk and we've got a link to the MixLR, which we do all our games on. And I'll be there commentating on the game at the Wilbur Stadium.
I forgot to mention, and I swore blind I'd never miss a fixture ever again after the Sutton Coldfield fiasco a couple of months ago. Grantham Town against Fricklow Athletic on Monday. Be there. Right, so, Johnny Crowther from Redshift Radio. Apologies for the technical issue. The listener might be wondering why I'm shouting and why you sound like you're on a phone, but this is what's happened. We've had some technical issues, but we've got through it. And Johnny Crowther, thank you for your patience. Apologies for the technical issues. And good luck this weekend, Johnny Crowther from Redshift Radio. Thanks for joining us on Evo Stick Extra.
Cheers, Ben.
And now for your correspondence. Liam Curry's been in touch to say away to Ossett Albion on Saturday and then at home to Scarborough Athletic 48 hours later. Two tough games, and it'll be nice to see us take the winning streak up to 12 and 13 games by Monday. Be good to see David Dawson returning from injury in the upcoming games as well. Jim O'Driscoll, Romulus away Friday and Daventry at home on Monday. Rugby need to get the 6 points to keep the race for the playoffs. That's in Division 1 South, of course. Carl Watson, Hanley Town to pick up 3 valuable points at home to Ecclesall. Is that North West Counties? Carl, you're on the wrong Facebook group. Phil Harrison, a Vic's win with a few goals would be nice to boost a bit of confidence and turn possession and performance into 3 points. Ian Lummis said, I wasn't going to shave before Gresley won again. Currently making plates out of my beard in the hope we can beat Carlton on Sunday. I'm not one to talk. I've got a really big beard. To do so, we must keep the excellent Joe Rea quiet. If we lose this one, we couldn't possibly break the snap at Colville. Could we? Who knows? John Sobey, also from a Division 1 South perspective. Leek Town away at mid-table Stocksbridge. A win is needed following a disappointing reverse at Shaw Lane midweek. Mind you, that defeat will have been worth it if Stafford do a Colville. David Dodd, Warrington to scrape a 2-1 win at Lancaster in Division 1 North. Also in that same division, Jonathan Wood, a home win against relegation-threatened Ossett Town is needed for relegation-threatened, but less so now, Scarborough. Lloyd Berry, difficult trip to Lancaster on Saturday for Warrington. Hopefully another win to another step towards the title. And it doesn't get easier as Witten visit us on Monday. Another piece of correspondence about this match, Lancaster versus Warrington. Any kind of win will do at the Giant Axe. Come on the yellows, that's from Ryan James Bedard. And just a couple of correspondence from the Premier Division. Richard Clark, friend of the show, Buxton at home on Saturday really is a must win for Stour if we want to keep touch with the playoffs. Not making any predictions about Monday, although I think Rob Lloyd's right that the first goal may prove decisive. Every chance of a 2,000-plus crowd as well on Monday for that number 9 derby. And lastly, Richard Scott, can someone bring some Barwell burgers on Saturday, please? Best burgers in football. To which Jim O'Driscoll says, no, the Valley Burgers at Rugby Town are the best in the country. Oh, it takes you back to that time when your parents told you Father Christmas wasn't real. Oh, sorry, James Hayes, for listening. Santa Claus is real, I promise. And that concludes this week's Wall of Correspondence. Tune in next week for another wall littered with your beautiful correspondence. Back over to you, Ben. Well, that's it for this week's Evo Stick Extra. We hope you've enjoyed this week's edition. Remember, you can follow the show on Twitter. That's at NPL Show. And, of course, you can get involved with all the discussions and chatter on the old Facebook group. That's at facebook.com/groups/the NPL. Well, that's it from me for this week's show. A big thank you to all my guests and a big thank you to you, dear listener, for joining me. I've been Ben Hughes, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Evo Stick NPL side, make sure that you have fun. Happy Easter. Goodbye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the Evo Stick range, you may need a bigger van. Evo Stick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.